Blog Talk Radio.
To spend your Saturday morning with Amazing Grace Ministries. We are destroying the yokes of bondage. Hallelujah, praise God. Welcome again to Amazing Grace Ministries. This is Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. I want to give a shout out to my co-host who is such a wonderful supporter. That's missionary or evangelist Terry Rogers. She's probably working, so we continue to pray her strength and covering. And certainly announcements. We're just going to get right into the word. This is a deep word. This is a heavy word. We've been talking about a case study in Job, and certainly I'm going to review. I'm not going to get ahead of myself this morning. Praise the Lord. But you guys know the drill. Certainly for announcements, the School of Ministries, we've had a minor setback, but we're coming. We're working on some technical things, but we're coming. But registration is available now. All you have to do is email me or give me a call and say you're interested, and I would forward you the information to register. So, again, call me at 309-750-7584 to begin to register. And certainly we have been talking about everyone that's listening in Radio Land to just give me a shout out and let me know you're enjoying this word. Certainly, I want to continue and ask that you do that. I decree a blessing unto you. If you are being blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Now, you text me at 309-750-7584. You can email me at AmazingGraceMinistries@gmail.com, which is amazing is not spelled the regular way. I did it a little different. It's AMAZEN, amazing. Grace, GRACE, Ministries, MINISTRIES at gmail.com. And certainly, you can click on the link. Also, you can type in www.blogtalkradio.com/ Amazing Grace Ministries, and they will bring up our shows. And certainly, you can click on any one that you want to hear and give a comment at the bottom of that show, and certainly I will review and see those comments. Also, I want to say I need Radio Land to pray for me as I bring a word on this Sunday at Word of Truth Pentecostal Church of God in Christ, located at 415 West 111th Street. We have plenty of distance in the church. Yes, we are back in the church. We've been back in the church, certainly practicing social distancing, taking your temperature at the door and using hand sanitizer and keeping our distance. Word of Truth Pentecostal is a large church. Certainly you can fit in comfortably. We're not congregating. We're leaving certainly after the word of God is over. Come and hear a word from the Lord. And the Lord has a word for his people, from barrenness to fruitfulness. So come and hear a word. Come and hear what the Lord has said to the church. And certainly you will be blessed, because I don't depend on Maria. I depend on the Lord. And we are preparing an end-time word for this season. Yes, end-time word for this season. We're living in a season where the word has to speak to us, where we have to move in the word, where we know that the word is active and alive, and it will cut down on the inside of us. It will change us. It will make us anew if we walk therein. The Bible says to study to show thyself approved unto the Lord, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So basically what it's saying, if I have the word in my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit, then I'm going to live it out, and I don't have to be ashamed. The Spirit of the Lord is going to move me, and he's going to guide me. But I have to apply myself just like the kids are back in school. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. We thank you. We thank you, God, for this season. We thank you for this word. We pray, God, that you'll give illumination of this word and edification of this word. Father God, we pray for those that will click on and listen, God, even in the aftermath, that they be blessed in the name of Jesus. You know their needs, and we speak a healing in the name of Jesus. We declare it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's get to it. So this is September, and we're doing a case study in Job. Now, the second lesson that we're talking about in this series is know your enemies who are among you. They may be your friends. Praise God. Let's get on to the word. We're going to start at Job, second chapter, verse 11 through 13. And this is the King James, the New King James Version. It says, now when Job's friend heard of all this adversary, adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Elphaz, the Temite, Bildad, the Shunite, and Zophar. Satan, you're alive. Father God, help me with my pronunciation in the name of Jesus. You know, looks like when I get to getting on my blog and talking and giving the word, Satan wants to block and stop and cause a lack of concentration in my brain, but Satan is a lie. There's smooth concentration, there's smooth clarity with but saying my words in the name of Jesus. I bind Satan right now in the name of Jesus. So we're going to start over, saints. Satan is a lie. So now when Job's three friends heard of all his adversity that had come upon him, each one of come from his own place. Elphaz, the Temite, and Bildad, the Shunite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. I want y'all to underline comfort, please. And when they rose their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven, so that they sat down with him on the ground 7 days. Peace for 7 days and seven nights. And no one spoke a word, for they saw that his grief was very, very great. You know, one of the things I want to say after hearing this word and studying this word from the Lord, you know, it was good that they sat down for 7 days and didn't say nothing. But oh, once they opened up their mouths, my gosh, my gosh. So we know by history, and we've been talking about Job, and we know that this book basically talks about the experiences of Job. And, you know, the author's really not known, but it was approximately written about 1800 BC, okay? We see that Job was a man who God allowed to be directly attacked by Satan. And we talked about some of the issues on last week when God takes your stuff. And we indicated some areas where Satan was allowed to attack Job. But through it all, we know that Job was an example of faithfulness. As he lost everything he had, he remained faithful to God. You know, and the purpose of this Job is to illustrate God's sovereignty and his faithfulness during times of suffering. And we know today we are suffering in the age of coronavirus. Kids are back in school. Their positivity rates are hopefully going higher. But then there are some red zones. We still can't do some of the things that we were doing post or pre COVID-19. So we've been in the house, the kids are in the house on school training, and certainly there are great disparities in the African-American community. African-American community still remains the highest community that this disease or this pandemic is hitting. Latin Indians, or first is Indians, then African-Americans, then is Latino. So we see the disparities, and we see that once you look at those disparities, you begin to understand it's because poor people don't have the services they need. So, and we've been talking about Job. We see how Satan claimed that Job served God only because God blessed him. And we talked about all those things. We talked about the fact that Job's faithfulness through allowing Satan to attack him, God told Satan, you know, and God allowed Job to be tested. You know, we had the conversation. We talked about the word that said in the first book of Job and the second book of Job, the first chapter and part of the second chapter, when Job's character was tested, his possessions was taken away, and his health was taken away. So now this man is sitting here in great anguish. He's suffering. He's down and out. He don't know what's happening to him. He once was rich, now he's not, and his kids, his housing, everything was taken away. Now we come into the chapters where we and I want to say this, that through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. So that's a testimony, saints. But here your friends come. Now you're suffering, you're going through. You don't know what's going on. You know that you love the Lord. You know that you're doing everything you can to serve God. You're not slipping and dipping, but you believe God. You're faithful. You're going to church. You're paying your tithes. You're paying your offering. You're teaching your kids to walk upright before the Lord. And all of a sudden, trials and tribulations happen. And you don't know what's going on. You don't know what is this. What's up, Lord? Why am I suffering the way I'm suffering? Why am I going through? What's happening? And then you got some friends that come along. And I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And we're talking about our subject matter today is, and I'm going to say it again, know your enemies that live among you, and they might be your friends. So here we're looking at Job's friends. And I'm going to read this verse again, and we're going to talk about and look at his friends, and then we're going to read some scriptures and just look at the suffering that Job went through. Verse 11, second chapter. Job's three friends share his anguish. Now that's topic right there, and I'm reading the New Living Translation. That should be the end of it. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. Their names were Eliphaz, the Temite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their clothes and they threw dust up into the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they came and sat with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. Now, you got three friends, and there are two others that came along. We're going to deal with his friends. And sometimes we need to consult the Lord when our friends are going through. We may not know what to say, but certainly God will give us what to say. And it's always good to pray. To pray and to just comfort them and see them through. You know, one of the things I like about his friends in the second chapter, they did something that was really good. They came, they sat with him. They recognized that Job was going through. They understood that some kind of way he was grieving, and they wanted to show their support. They sat down with him. They ripped their clothes. They threw ashes on their head, which is a form of grief, meaning that they was grieving with him. But after that 7 days and 7 nights, looked like they got a revelation and said, look, this ain't right. So let's look at the first one, shall we? Let's look at the first one that opens their mouth, and that is Zophar, Elphaz, the Temite. And his message is, he's first mentioned in, and was one of the friends in 2:11. He had sympathy, but then he goes into hitting Job and complaining in chapter 3. You see, Elphaz begins to express his concern or express his point of view in terms of what Job is going through. You will find Elphaz talking in verses 4-5. And then Job responds to this conversation. And then all the friends decide that they were going to hit in and give their perspective on what Job is going through. Elphaz complains that his perspective was not correct, and he starts saying that Job did something wrong. You wouldn't go through this mess if you were innocent. God would not focus all this ministry and all this pain and all this suffering on you if you were innocent. The theme of chapters 4 and 5, which contains Eliphaz's first speech, was just an innocent perspective. Not really his own point of view, saying that Job did something wrong. You couldn't have, man. You nobody would go through this mess if they were innocent. And we know that suffering is a test. We go through stuff because of a test. We go through it, and we don't know sometimes why we're going through the test, but we're going through the test because God has something in us that he wants to get out. And, you know, we see in the scripture, we see Job 3, that when Job responds to his friend, chapter 3, verses 1 reads, and this is the New King James Version, after Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth, and Job spake, saying, may the days perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, and a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadows of death claim it. May a cloud settle over the darkness of the day, terrifying. And then he goes on to verse 11 and says, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? You know, when you look at the response that Job is having to his first friend in his innocence came at Job to say, man, you did something wrong. There's no way that you could not be suffering like this if you had not done something that displeased God. And certainly we see that Job is in so much anguish until he just responds and say, look, you know, it would have been better if I had not been born, if I had not been here. You know, it would have been better if God just took my life, because this suffering is great. and the friend not understanding that, you know, one of the things we need to do is just be consoling, be a comfort. You know, sometimes if we don't have anything to say, we just need not say anything, because here Job is responding out of anguish, out of clear depression, out of clear anxiety, out of clear desire to say, look, I'm just fed up. I just want to take my life. And when we see the friends and we read the way that his friends responded, we see the conversation that goes on in this book, a conversation, the first session. We see that there's a their first conversations with Job, and the first one being Eliphaz, chapters 4 and 5. You know, Job responds, and Benadad, he comes in on the scene, and he has his words, and then Job responds to him. Then Zophar, he comes in chapter 11, and Job responds. And this is the session in session 1, where they go back and forth, where they searching for the right perspective, and they don't have it. And instead of sitting there and being quiet and helping him work through his grief, they start accusing him of doing stuff, or guilty of what's going on, guilty of having these trials and tribulations befall him. We read in verse chapter 6, verses 13 and 15 reads, is my help not with me? And is success driven from me? To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friends. Even though he forsake the fear of the Almighty, my brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook, like the streams of the brook that pass away. He's saying, you know, even if I did sin, even if I have done something that God wasn't pleased with, my friends should be having my back. My friends should be there to support me. And that's what we need. You know, we don't need our friends as our enemies. We need our friends as supporters. Our friends is going to hold our hands to thick and thin. And we thank God that Jesus came along and became that friend. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That friend that will help us. That friend that will walk us through our trials and our tribulations. And, you know, even though people have their human perspective of how and what kind of an advice they should give, and sometimes they shouldn't give any advice, they should just hold their peace and let the Lord work it out for that individual and pray. Because prayer is the best thing that we could do for our brethren. And then Job rebukes his friends. Chapter 16, Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforts are you all. Shall words of wind have an end? Shall that you answer? I also can speak as you do. If your souls were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth. And this is a testimony when we look at the analyze and we look at our friends and we look at these three friends and what they were coming at Job with and how they were coming at Job. You know, we need to strengthen each other. We're living in a time that we're going to have haters. We're going to have those that stab us in our backs, those that are not very kind. And like I said before, we're living in this day of COVID-19 where we're trying to gauge our way through calamity, trying to gauge our way to maintaining our health and stay away from people that are sick. And then we see businesses that have closed down. We see people that have died because of this pandemic. And we're looking at an election year, and I want to encourage all of you to vote, to get registered to vote. That's important. But back to what our topic is, and we're dealing with friends. But, you know, even then, you're going to have your enemies, and those enemies already don't like you. They may not like you for who you are, how you present yourself, what you say, what you do, what you got, because Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He will try to make you feel bad, and in making you feel bad, you feel bad, and you're not going to reach your full potential because you're feeling bad, you're feeling some kind of way about yourself. And we see that Job was sitting here, suffering, going through. Now his friends came, and they did the right thing in the beginning, but we see that they had stuff to say. They had a conversation that was downgrading. They had a conversation to accuse Job of things that he had not done as if he did them. And certainly only Zophar only had two sessions. He only had two conversations to have with Job. But certain he declares that Job deserves even worse than what he got. Come on now. You gonna tell me that in my suffering that I deserve worse than I get? Come on. Now you my friend and you gonna tell me that? Man, that will hurt anybody. You know, and when we read it and when we talk about it now, it hurts me. You know, we have got to understand that we don't know why we're going through a test. And when we look at, and I'm going to go back to Zophar. In verse 6, and when we look at chapter 11, verse 6, he states, "Know that God exacts of you less than your guilt deserves." And this is the English Standard Version. And Job responds in chapter 12. That it was the Lord who brought his suffering upon him. And in 13, he maintains his innocence. So here we see that Job is having a conversation. He's fighting with his friends. And he's having to defend himself with his friends who came initially to help him grieve, but decides that they were going to tell him about himself. You know, let me tell you about yourself. We hear that conversation sometimes. Let me tell you about yourself. Let me tell you what you're doing. Let me tell you what you're doing and how you're doing it. Sometimes we just, again, need to pray and to seek the Lord, because we're going through. Everybody is going through. Everybody has trials and tribulations. Everybody is being tested during this time. But there are some that are going through better than others. And we've got to have a praise on the inside, even in the midst of our storm. We've got to seek the Lord's face continuously. We've got to allow this word to be in our hearts and our minds that we may not sin against the Lord. We need to seek him continuously. We need to be about trying to find his presence because we are going through a storm. Job was tested, as we see in the beginning part, and he was tested because Satan was walking around the earth trying to find somebody to test. And what God does, God says, have you considered my manservant Job? Have you considered Job? And God offers Satan his servant. And we talked about this on last week. And certainly I'm not going to go over the areas. But God is looking at our lives. God is looking at us, and Satan is also looking at us as well. And God wants our life to represent him on in every area, even with our friends. And certainly if our friends in their ignorance have negative stuff to say, how much more will our enemies try to come against us and try to stab us in the back and hate us for stuff that God has given us? And certainly when we go through the test, when we go through trials and tribulations, and when we come out, God will bless us with more than we had when we're going out. But it's just a test. Now, how we deal, how we endure in the midst of that test, whether our friends come initially sit with us and say kind things with us and then come out with the guns and say, you must have done something. Ain't no way in the world you could be going through if you hadn't gone, if you had not said or done something. But once we go through this test, once we come out of this test, we know that we win. If we read the last chapter in this in the book of Job, we know what happens. We know that he came out successfully. But we understand that the trying of once we go through the trying of our faith has to be tried. Our faith has to be tried. Tribulations have to come upon us. We've got to go through in order to get through. And in going through, once we get through, there's light on the other side of the tunnel. And once we see the light, and we have to have an attitude of praise. We have to have an attitude of worship. We've got to give God the praise in every situation. I don't understand it, but I thank you. I don't know why I'm going through, but I thank you. And I thank you, God, because I don't understand, but I'm praying for those that don't like me, even my friends that don't understand, because I want a blessing on the other side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we have three friends that Job, that came and sat with Job. We see how they blamed him. We see the conversations that they had with him. We see that each one had something to say. And in doing so, put Job in a position to defend himself. And Eliphaz had three conversations. And Job 16:2 calls him a miserable comforter. Miserable comforter. We read that. Bildad also had three speeches with Job. And certainly those speeches were not good. Hallelujah. And all responds with words of pity and accusations. But God brought them out. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, God, that you have allowed this word to be shared with the world. And we pray, God, that something has been said that will touch somebody. We pray, God, that this word will go all over the world. We pray, God, that you move mightily, Father God. You pray, God, that you will each and every one, God, that hears this word. We pray, God, that if somebody is not saved, that they will say these words, "Forgive me of my sins. I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And now that I've confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I am adopted in the royal family." And we thank you, God. We pray for each and every one. There may be somebody that's going through suffering, maybe going through a test as Job, and I pray for them. I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that you undergird them. I pray that you uphold them. I pray that you move in their lives. I pray, God, that you deliver them from all their hurts and their problems. But we understand, God, it's a test. So, Father God, I redirect and re-say it. God, help them through this test. And, God, strengthen them for the test. You have not put more on us than we can bear, God. And we thank you, God, for being in the test with us. Because you never leave us. You never will forsake us. You're right there in the midst of the storm with us. And I thank you, God, for being there with us. I thank you, God, for each and every person that's on this line on this morning. I pray that you strengthen them. I pray for God, I pray for them. I pray that you will uphold them. I pray that you'll undergird them. I pray, God, that you'll guide them and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you'll move mightily in their lives, heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So on next week, tune in for the next case study in Job. And this topic will be bathe in bitterness. Bathe in bitterness. So tune in. And those of you that can come on Sunday, I will be speaking a word of truth. 415 West 111th Street. We are practicing social distancing. Come wear your mask. Your temperature will be checked. And come and let me know that you heard that I was speaking on Blog Talk and introduce yourself. I certainly will be happy to see you, happy to know that you're listening. Until next week, be blessed. Bye-bye.